Welcome, everyone, to a mystical journey to the Sacred Sites Global Summit, where we will journey to beautiful sacred sites with healers, shamans, scientists, doctors, wisdom keepers, and coaches to gain wisdom and healing to self, the collective, and our divine Mother Earth. During the course of this event, you will learn that a sacred site is not only an external place or structure, but also our own body. You may have heard of the term, your body is a temple. Therefore, we will also journey inwards to access our internal sacred sites, for example, our sacred heart. You will hear experts talk about their own healing journeys and the work they are doing to raise awareness and consciousness of individuals, the collective, as well as raising the vibration of our great spiritual mother, Gaia, to create more joy, peace, and abundance for all sentient beings on our beautiful and divine planet, our home. I'm your host and the creator of this event, Ami Sohi. And before we begin, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Jocelyn Starfeather for her tremendous mentorship and guidance during the creation of this summit, without whom I would not be able to present today. I am also very grateful to all my family and friends for their unconditional love and support throughout my journey. And last but not least, I am very grateful to all of you for taking the time and having the courage to be here today. So thank you to everyone. Without further ado, I'm very excited and thrilled to present my dear friend, Isabel Costa. Isabel is a hypnotherapist and naturopath. She's also the author of two books on healthy nutrition and a creator and teacher of the Holistic Nutrition Course. She is also the ambassador of peace for the Women's Federation for World Peace. And last but not least, Isabel is a teacher at the Sustainable Global Leadership Academy, where I had the honor and pleasure to meet her. So welcome, Isabel. It's a great pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and your topic for today, Isabel, is the journey to the heart. And to begin with, could you share your own personal experiences and how your journey, spiritual journey, started?
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, thank you for inviting me to this wonderful event. This is really a great summit, and I'm sure everybody will really learn so many insights that they can bring into their life. So congratulations for holding this summit. That is really important. And I'm deeply honored to be here with you. Before I started, I really want to share this because you are my soul sister. And even we are dressed in the same color today.
Yes, we are.
It's really amazing.
Synchronicity, Isabel. Yeah.
Yes. So my spiritual journey started very early. When I was a child, I was really angry to see injustices against other people, children, or animals. I think really, I feel this is when it started. And then when I was 10 years old, I was in hospital. I had a surgery, very serious. And one day when I was looking at the sunrise, I felt a presence involving me in a very warm and whole presence. And I felt that was God when I felt that warmth. So actually the first thing that I did when I could get out of bed and walk, I walked up five floors in the stairs, go to the church. And I was 10 years old. And then it continued. So when I was a teenager, around my 13, 14 years old, I continued to look for churches. And I asked my mother, what am I doing here in this life? Who am I? What is my purpose? And my mother would say, well, your purpose is like everyone else. You know, you study, you get a degree, you marry, you have children, you have a house, you have a car. And I said, and then I die. And that's it? No, this doesn't make sense. You know, life has to be more than this. I don't want just to be working hard the whole life, even to have things, and then I'm gone and everything is staying here. What do I take with me from life? It has to be more than this. Even to raise a family is very important, but it has to be something else, even deeper than that. So, of course, having a family is really a holy mission as well. But I felt I wanted even more. So when I was 19 years old, I became a missionary. And just before I became a missionary, I really felt there is a purpose in life. And there is true love also. And that true love comes from our source, God, our origin, our creator, whatever that means to each one, because we have different meanings when we think about God. So then I lived the missionary life for 14 years. And this was really a life of total service in different countries, East and West. I didn't have money, you know, I just lived for 14 years with this service to mankind in a life of prayer, meditation, and so on. So then when I stopped being a missionary, I started naturopathy. And then I changed my diet. I became a vegetarian because I started to, even though my life started with this missionary life, I felt still that I had to go to other places in consciousness and inner transformation. So then I changed my diet because I started to feel very deeply, all beings have right to live and I don't want to eat them. So then started a different course in my life. And at that point, because I was studying nutrition as well, I felt that everything is also conditioning concerning our health according to what we eat. So we are what we eat. This is what I believed. And at some point, and this is very interesting, I stopped riding a motorbike and I start to drive a car. And within 3 months, I lost 14 kilos. And I thought, this is very weird. What is going on? Why on earth do I lose 14 kilos, you know, just by changing my way of transportation? And then I looked deeper. And then I realized that what I had was not just what I ate, was my feelings, my thoughts. And then I realized that I had a lot of fear. Fear because of some things that happened when I was riding. So my body kept that weight. And finally, when I felt free and safe, naturally, I lost that weight. And then I started to realize, okay, I'm not what I eat. I'm what I think and what I feel. This is what is conditioning my body. So this started to bring me a completely different view of life, you know, of my own responsibility towards my body. So the process continued. And then at some point, I had a cut, a wound that would not heal. And I was like this for about 3 months, and this didn't heal with anything. And suddenly, I did a hypnotherapy session. And when I met this hypnotherapist, who later became my teacher, I told her if she would be able to help me that problem. And she said, oh, yes, I can solve this in one session. I thought, what? This is impossible. But anyway, okay, I tried. I thought I have nothing to lose. So I did it. And then actually it closed 80% in one session. And then in the second session, it healed completely. And then again, I entered into another stage to realize the wounds that we carry within us, without understanding, without being aware of so many things that condition our lives in many ways, condition our physical body as well. So I went into this healing process in a very deep, deep way. And this is when big transformations came. So there have been different stages of inner evolution in my life.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, very interesting what you're saying, that you know, is It's not what we eat, it's also what we think and feel that affects our whole state of being, right?
Yes. And most important is also what we carry from our first 7 years of life. Not only that, because we are carrying also our ancestors' memories, but the way we are educated, our first 7 years of life will condition a lot of our vision of ourselves, our story about ourselves, the story that I tell myself, about me, about life, about everything. And then 2 years ago, I met SGLA. And again, another transformation came into my life. So,
Wow. Yeah, that's where I had the pleasure of meeting you, Isabel.
yes.
Fantastic, fantastic course. Yeah, great learning.
Yes.
And, yeah, it was just amazing people we met. So yeah, so how do we start this journey into the heart?
So we need to look inside. Most of the times we are worried about what we do and we forget about to be. Actually, Shakespeare is very interesting in this with this sentence, to be or not to be. So he places on the road to be. So we have to look into our hearts and realize and acknowledge all of the pains that are hidden inside of us and that are triggered constantly in our lives, in our relationships, in job, sometimes even with a perfect stranger that we meet, it triggers whatever we have inside of us that is not healed. So we have to look into our deep heart, into our inner child. The inner child holds the wisdom. She holds all of the pains, the traumas that we lived in our lives, all of the beliefs that we were educated, the point of view of our father and mother. And we have to be aware not to criticize them because honor them. They did their best. They passed on many things that were not good, but they tried their best. And normally, one generation always does better than the other one before them. So we need to look at all of this from our lives, acknowledge, forgive, resignify the traumas that we carry so that we can get the wisdom. Because if you remain holding on to the pain, to the trauma, to the fear, we cannot fly. We cannot go deep into our hearts. We just stay in the realm of our mind, of our concepts, of our beliefs, and we don't look deeper into the pain. This doesn't mean that we have to dwell in the past over and over and over. No, we have to look at the past, heal it, acknowledge, be grateful, forgive, and move on. But if we don't do this process of realizing all of the pain that we carry, we cannot move on. No, this is like a spiritual bypass. We try to be positive, like many times people say, okay, we have to do positive affirmations. But what happened is because we have so many wounds that are in our subconscious mind, even we say some positive affirmations, in fact, we don't believe them. Like, for example, we can say every day, I'm lovable just the way I am. But I need to start at look at myself and really feel worthy of that love. Otherwise, if it's just on the mind concept. So I need to really bring this into my reality. Look to the point, when didn't I feel worthy to be loved just as I am, and heal that. Because sometimes father or mother or some authority figure say you are not enough. And this is hidden there. But this program is running. You are not enough. And then we feel we are not enough. And we are not lovable enough. We are not good. And so on. So we need to look at all at those pains and resignify them and forgive them and let go. And then we can really be free to start a journey into the heart. Because the longest road that we need to walk is the road between the mind and the heart. Even though it seems short, it is long because it has not been walked for thousands and thousands of years, only by a few people. So this is the road that we need to take to really look into our hearts and resignify our stories and be grateful for it, because they make them who we are today. So we can be the heroes of our lives.
Yeah, wow, that's a lot of wisdom in what you're saying. It's really, yeah, healing that inner child and healing, the past ancestral traumas in order to be able to truly heal and move on. And like you said, the first 7 years of our life, you know, those are the most important years of our lives. And if we're told time and time again, we're not enough, it just builds and builds into our
Yes.
adult life and takes years of healing. So,
Yes.
which tools do you use, you know, for your clients, for your patients, in order to get to the root of that trauma?
So mainly is through hypnotherapy. And there they can really embrace their inner child. Because if we try to think, of course, we can always connect in the heart with the inner child that we were. For example, we can look at the picture of us when we were children. So everyone can do some kind of work with with the inner child. So we can look at the picture. We can imagine that we are holding that little one, you know, and we can tell them that we love them just as they are, and they are worthy, and they are the best, and that we are proud of them. And we can be the best mother or father to that little child. We can be the parent that they wanted to have, the one that would love them, that would keep them safe and secure all the time. So we can do this in a conscious way, but through hypnotherapy, we can see it and feel it in a much deeper way. So of course, I'm the facilitator in this process. It is the patient who heals himself. I'm the facilitator in this healing process. And then this work, it continues in many ways besides hypnotherapy, like with meditation, with journaling, with prayer, whatever the way people feel they want to pray. Of course, a prayer of gratitude is the one that can really keep us closer to the heart, is the gratitude that we can develop for everything, for everyone, for everything we have in our lives. So it's like the seeds. We need to plant them and then let them grow. This we can expand and keep a positive view of our life and the future and work on this and be at service. So there are many things that we need to do to continue this work into the journey to the heart.
Wow, yeah, very, very interesting, very profound. So in your opinion, which are the main aspects to heal our traumas, from childhood, our ancestral traumas, you know, what are the aspects to heal those in our lives?
So the most important is this reconnection to the inner child. And then it is the healing of the relationship between mother and child or father and child. The relationship with the mother is really fundamental for our lives. And for women is even deeper, because through the womb, we are the ones who are bringing life into this world. We carry the child within us for 9 months, and the child feels everything the mother feels. So it is so important when a woman heals herself, she also heals her ancestors and her children, because we are all connected through the womb. And we don't realize how much the relationship with our mother is going to affect us in our future life. Because when we don't have this relationship healed, what we are going to do with our children is the same that we lived with our mother when we were children. And the way our mother treated us is the way we are going to treat our children. So it is fundamental to heal this relationship. Of course, with the father as well, because this also will attract the same type of men into our lives. There is a lot to say, of course, about this, but just shortly. And also some deep traumas that we can have with authority figures. You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of abuses during the childhood, sexual abuses. Sometimes they are by touch, some by penetration. And of course, this affects all of the life of that person. So the deep traumas are really important to heal. We don't need to be looking at every single moment, every single day of our childhood, but this aspect, the inner child, the relationship with the mother, with father, with authority figures, and traumas that we live, that could be sexual abuse, it could be abandonment, rejection, whatever that is really painful and that we hold. And then we need to look at all our ancestors and really thankful, be thankful to them, because they did their best to pass on life and love. And if one of them would not want to do that process, we would not be here. So we can be grateful to them because they did their best according to their life's experiences, to whatever they had, and they still tried their best. Sometimes the only thing they could do was just to bring the life into the world and they go away. So, but even in that kind of circumstance, we can be grateful that father or that mother just brought me into life. I can be grateful for that. So just take the most positive things from the past. The point when we look at the past is not to dwell in the pain, is to acknowledge the pain, recognize it, heal it. And we heal it with love, with forgiveness, with gratitude, understanding that the one who hurted us is also a hurted child. And this is valid not just for our childhood, but for anyone that we meet in life. If someone hurt us, that is a hurted person as well.
Wow, that is, it's also about changing the perspective, right? Like you said, the one who hurt us, look at what trauma they may have been through. So they have been hurt themselves as well. So it's just changing your perspective, right, to the whole situation, to the pain.
Yes. For example, everyone who abuses another one sexually is someone who was abused in their childhood as well. This doesn't mean that was raped, you know, but abused in some way, or saw abuses during the childhood, because sometimes it's not just living it physically, but also seeing it, you know. This also, because these traumas affect the consciousness in such a deep way, and they block the potentiality of the development. And now we know through science how much trauma in childhood blocks this development in many, many ways, not just intellectually, but emotionally. It's like that person grows with a deep wound that is never healed, so it can never reach the full potential of life and is always undermined by this wound. So we really need to look at these things from another point of view so that we can really go into our hearts, because we can't just repress, neglect, or imagine that there is nothing there, because there is, and it is hidden deeply in our subconscious mind. So sometimes people wear masks to protect themselves from being hurt again, and for not really showing how they are. And not showing how they are is not just the negative sides. Sometimes people are showing their own inner beauty because they are afraid. So sometimes we feel, oh, people are hiding their good aspects, their bad aspects. It's not just that. Sometimes, for example, people hide a lot their sensitivity. So we hide because we are afraid to be hurt again and we want to protect ourselves. So when we heal, we get courage again to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's that's really that is the truth. If we hide, we don't heal that pain inside of us, you know, which is deep rooted inside of us, we're just blocking ourselves from all that potential that
yes.
we have, that we can give to the others, we can give to the collective, and in turn give back to our great mother, Pachamama, you know, in order to heal her. Because I really believe that our own healing is a ripple effect, right?
Yes.
Heal effect. If I heal, I heal you. And if
yes.
you heal, you heal others. So we're like healing all of us, the collective. And also the collective then heals our
yes.
great spiritual mother, Gaia. So
and
it's
our
great.
Consciousness expands.
Mm-hmm.
And when our consciousness expands, it will never go back to the same place. And there is something very interesting that I say many times. The hero and the villain, they start from the same point, which is the pain. So what does the villain, what does he do? He feels the pain of being rejected, neglected, abused, whatever. So he uses this pain in a negative way, and he ends up in revenge because of the pain. So he never felt the love that he wanted, or he didn't perceive it as well. So he continued in this road of revenge and pain. On the other hand, the hero, even if we look at the movies, for example, all of the heroes, they have deep wounds, but they picked those wounds, those pains, and they turn it into something great to serve others, so that others will not go through the same pain as they went. So this is amazing, because when we look into our lives and we resignify this, and we decide to use this for the greater good, we can put ourselves at service from the wisdom that we got from all of that, and we can become heroes. Not just for us, we become the heroes for our children, for our society, and for the world. And we can create a world of goodness, because all of the heroes have this desire, not just for their ego, but to really bring, you know, put themselves into service, sometimes in loneliness, but they put themselves into service. So we don't need to be alone. In our days already, many people are really awakened for this new world, and we can be the heroes for others by showing them how we transform ourselves in this pain into the light, into love, into forgiveness, into compassion, and into gratitude. And when we resignify all of this, really life changes. We start to look from different glasses. We start to see life in many colors, you know, because we healed ourselves and we put that in service.
Yeah, that is, oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I've also heard, I think it was through a webinar I watched, the lady who was presenting, she said, one way of healing is to love your pain, to start sending love to the pain or whoever caused that pain, to send lots of love and love that pain, and you'll see it dissolving, you know, into, yeah, and then you're creating something more beautiful once you've dissolved, healed that pain.
Yeah, this is what makes us who we are today.
Yes.
You know, for many years I was like angry with my mother. And then when I really healed my relationship with my mother, and I look back and I can say, I'm so grateful to my mother. Because, you know, of all of the troubles that I had with her when I was a child and teenager, and this really made me look to something higher. If I didn't have this kind of mother, and I mean, I can only talk this for myself, this is my life's experience. If I had a very kind mother, caring, always protecting me from everything, I wouldn't be the person who I am today. I would be totally different. But somehow it's like she touched the areas necessary for me to awake to my life's mission. So I'm so grateful. I have a great mother. Even though in the beginning was rough, but thanks to her, I woke up to be who I am today. So when we look at our parents in this way, we can see life in a different color. And we don't carry ourselves as victims of the past. So the past serves to heal and to resignify it, not to be a victim of it.
Yeah, you were so truthful. Yeah, so much wisdom in what you're sharing. Yeah, I always say that our greatest lessons are from those people, or in quotes, the abusers, you know, that the bad experiences, that's what I'm trying to say, that we learn the greatest lessons and the biggest transformations.
Yes.
To be the highest or best versions of ourselves. Yes.
Yes.
As you mentioned, if your mother was like always protecting you, very, very caring, loving, you wouldn't be the person you are, you know, today.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
I would be someone else. And I'm sure I wouldn't have this deep awakening within my heart in such a young age. So I'm really grateful for that. Really.
Wow.
And it was quite difficult.
Yeah, life is challenging. Yeah. So, Isabel, how does one access the inner child? Do you have any tools for the audience? Anything you can share?
We can do a simple meditation.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
We can do it now.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Just for a few minutes. It's something very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the session, I do it in a deeper way. But just so they can grasp, they can connect in an easy way, even just by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shall we try it now?
Yes, please. Let's do it.
Okay, great. So let's close our eyes. Breathe in and breathe out gently. And as you breathe in and breathe out, you can feel your body relaxing more and more. Relaxing your feet, your legs. Relaxing your hands, your arms. Relaxing your neck, your head. All the muscles in your face. Relax all the muscles in your back, in your chest, in your abdominal and pelvic area. Feel your body relaxing more and more as you sit comfortably in your chair or lay down in a bed or a sofa, whatever it is. Just feel your body heavier and heavier. And now imagine that you are in a beach. It is a wide sandy beach. The ocean is calm. The water is crystal clear and it's warm. And you are there by yourself, safe, protected, totally relaxed. And then you look to your left side and you can see the little boy or the little girl that you were coming towards you. You can even imagine this little boy or little girl from a picture of you or from a movie. And feel this child coming to you. And when this child is near you, hold the child in your arms. Look deeply into the child's eyes. Feel her heart. How is she feeling? Is she happy to see you? You can tell her internally, I'm your grown-up version, and I'm here just for you. You are the most important person in my life. And I love you very much. How does your little child feel listening to this? You can embrace her, caress your little one. You can tell her that whatever she holds in her heart, some pain, some sadness, some fear, some anger, she can let it go. Because now you are there just for her, to love her totally, to protect her, to take care of her. You are the one from now on who will take care of this little boy or little girl. You can give her a gift. Ask her what she would like to receive from you. There are no limits in imagination. It can be a toy, it can be a doll. She may desire to have a dog or simply just to continue to receive your embrace. Whatever the child wants, give it. Give it to her. She deserves everything. Feel the child's joy with your gift, whatever it is. And for a few moments, enjoy playing with the child. talking to her or embracing her. And then embrace her again and tell her, I will protect you from now on. I will give you all my love. You are loved just as you are. And embrace her and let her melt into your heart. And from now on, every moment you put your hand in your heart, you can tell to your little child that you love her, that she's safe and protected from now and forevermore. Breathe in and breathe out, feeling your body again, back to this moment, peacefully, slowly, slowly, open your eyes. And look at the screen.
Thank you so much, Isabel. That was, wow, very profound. Yeah, thank you. Wow, just yeah. Very, very yeah, touching. Thank you, very grateful to you.
Thank you, my dear,
for that journey.
This is an easy meditation that everyone can do safely at home, and they can create whatever environment they would like. It can be in the beach, in the garden. They are not looking at memories, just giving love to their inner child. Sometimes people feel disconnected from their childhood, don't remember anything at all. So they can look at the picture of when they were children, look into the eyes of that child in the picture and try to connect, and then close the eyes and do this simple meditation. But it is very deep and nurture this inner child. And there is another thing that I would like to suggest, which is equally important. It is to write two letters. So one letter should be written with the dominant hand to the child, expressing how much you love your child, your inner child, how beautiful, how wonderful she is, how proud you are of them. Just all of the good things. And it is very important to really write everything from your heart. And it can be a long letter. It's okay. It's always good things. And this letter, even you can read it many times. Okay, so this letter should be written with the dominant hand. And then it is important to write another letter with the non-dominant hand. So my case is my left hand. And this letter is from the child to you. Because when we are writing with our non-dominant hand, the emotion flows in a more easy way. Because when we went to primary school, we didn't know how to write very well. Okay, so the non-dominant hand will bring this child up. And then just one or two sentences, whatever that you can write with your dominant hand. Just let it come from the heart. What does your heart, your child, feels? What does she want to tell you? What does she need? You know, this is very important, to let the child express what does she need, what does she want, you know, what she wants from the adult. So in this, the wisdom will come and the child will really express what is there internally. So this is a very good exercise, really very good, and it has so many incredible results and insights about our wounds and about the wisdom that it brings.
Wow, that is, yeah, that's absolutely, absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, Isabel, for sharing your
thank you very much.
Your wisdom, really your inner truth, and this, yeah, the journey to the inner child. It was, and the journey to our hearts. Thank you very much. Yeah, before we close, Isabel, I know you have a free gift to mm-hmm. offer our audience. So would you like to talk about, share your free gift?
Yes, I would like to offer an inner child session in a deeper way for a group. So people can reach me through my website, and then I will set a date for everyone, or even two different groups. It depends on the number of people, so that it can be a close experience, you know. And if I have to do more, I will do. And they can go to my website and contact me. So then I'll create a group to have an inner child session that will be maybe at least for 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. So for everyone, Isabel's free gift will be available below the video that that we will share in the summit website. So the link to the free gift will be there, and the description on what it's all about. And you can go to Isabel's website, which is in Portuguese and in English. So you just have to click the little flag there, the British flag, to get the English version of the website. So before we close, Isabel, is there anything else you want to share with us about your upcoming projects, a program, tours that you're working on?
Yes, I will be giving also a course on the journey to the heart online. So this will be on my website also. People can register to that. And you know, I have also other courses that are in the website.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and also for some individual appointments. I do it online as well, internationally. So I'm also available for international appointments by appointment.
Okay. Okay, so everyone, please visit Isabel's website. She's an amazing lady with lots of gifts and talents. And yeah, make sure you go and click on the free gift and have a session on the inner child with Isabel. So thank you, Isabel.
Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure talking to you. And thank you, everyone, for attending the summit today. Thank you for your time. Okay,
thank you.
Goodbye.